Has the job hunt worn you down? Application after application and radio silence. I know why you're here, and I can help you get there. A job offer, a job faster. You can now book me for $2 a minute for 30, 45, 60, or 90 minutes for a video chat interview preparation session. Don't need 45 minutes? Don't pay for it. Want to do 30 minutes now and maybe 30 minutes later once you progress? Let's do it. If you aren't getting responses to your application, we'll meet and rework your resume to get noticed. If you aren't passing job interviews, we'll work through a mock interview so you can put your best foot forward with winning responses that make a difference. I'm here to consult with you if you're in a unique situation and want input from someone that has seen it all and can help you succeed, like I have so many others. It's super simple. You just go to jobinterviewexperience.com and click the $2 minute coaching button at the top of the page. Select the amount of time you want to meet, and then you can look through my availability without having to pay. Pick a time and pay $2 a minute for 100% of my attention. Check out the testimonials while you're there from listeners to this podcast that I've worked with in just the last couple of weeks. It's blocked into 30, 45, 60 minutes and more, so we won't go over. You won't get charged any more than what you pay for at checkout. Remember that the faster you invest in yourself, the faster you land that dream job. Go to jobinterviewexperience.com or follow the link in this episode's description. I'm excited to meet with you, help identify what's holding you back, and help you take control of your career today. Do you feel like you have good experience, but your resume isn't getting the response that it should? Or are you going through job interviews and not getting to the next step, all the way to the finish line, receiving an offer? In today's episode, I'm going to share some really important information that will help improve that. And if you're getting interviews and your application is getting noticed, maybe you're in the middle of that process right now, you need to listen to this and fix it right away. Show me, show me, show me. Don't tell me, show me. So many resumes that I viewed, that I view every day now, they say things like, improved my department, achieved success in this area, managed a team. They think that because the position description says ability to manage a team, or the position description says ability to grow client base or increase revenue or create great content, they think because it says that, you should just put those same things on your resume. And maybe that's like job seeking 101, or maybe 101 is a little too high. Maybe that's like job seeking 08. You got to do way better than that. And it's not hard. You need to show and not tell. Data is key here. And as workforces are becoming more remote, it's becoming more important. Now, you may not be interviewing for a remote job, but if you are interviewing or seeking a remote job, this is most important. It used to be that you would show up at your office at 8 a.m. or whenever and stay there till 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. or for some of you, maybe 9 p.m. And that showed that you're working hard and you're getting stuff done. And if stuff didn't happen, it wasn't because you weren't working hard. It's probably a different reason, because you were obviously there. You were obviously doing something. As remote work is becoming more prevalent, all employers on site or remote are focusing more on metrics and outcomes. Show the proof of your work. And this is what's happening once you get a job. KPIs are being implemented, different ways to track and see what you're doing and where you're at, whether you need to do something faster, more accurate, less errors, save more money, spend more money, get more of this, have less of this. A lot of things are intangible, right? Like create great marketing content. How do you quantify that? Well, no matter what you do, even if you work on a manufacturing floor, you need to share what you did and what your results were, and they should be good. So how do you do this? On your resume, say that you work at a lumber mill. Instead of saying cut logs and sanded logs and made sure everything happened on time, focus on achievements. Use quantifying data. So instead of saying things like that, you would say, was able to meet quota of 20 logs per hour and overachieved that quota by 5 logs per hour, totaling 25 logs per hour, which is 20% above industry or company standards. That's super easy. Show the percent increase that you were able to provide. Use just hard numbers, this many more logs than was expected. If you are in something more online, like many of us are, it might be, say that you're a digital marketer. Instead of saying increase traffic website every year since 2020, increase in 2021, 22, 23, 24, find the percentage. If you're doing that job, you should be monitoring that. So increased organic traffic by 25%. Lowered sites, words like retention when people leave your website, bounce rate, something like that. Reduced bounce rate by 50% by creating engaging content that was strategically created to grab more attention. But you have the results there. So you want to show a little bit of why you did it, but the outcome is most important. Metrics matter. So if you are a school teacher or a nurse or a marketing director, you think about what that company wants you to do. If you're a teacher, maybe you can talk about how grades improved or pages read by students improved, right? Increased. If you are a nurse, maybe it's bedside, the ability to go to bedside to so many places, administer so many shots or medicine. Obviously, I'm not an expert here, but there are things that even if your job doesn't require you, like if you're a nurse, they're probably not like, hey, you need to give 100 shots a day. But maybe you can say, create an efficient process to visit 5 more beds per hour while also elevating client experience or patient experience. There's a lot of different ways to show this. One could be dollar amounts using dollar symbols, right? One would be percentage points, so percent increase or percent decrease. Maybe your job is quality control. So you achieved a 20% decrease in bad product. It could be KPIs, it could be days. So many different things you can do. It could be hours, could be how many meetings you have. If you're working at a call center or taking phone calls, it could be simply the number of calls you do per day. What this does, especially when you add numbers and not numbers like a lot or not numbers like the year 2020, when you have any type of percentage of days, it's so important that this information is true. If you plan on lying on this, just stop listening to the show because it's not for you. You want to use real, true data. But there's something about having a number, a specific number, that just kind of makes it more true. If you say a lot, first of all, I'm going to assume that you weren't dialed in enough to know how many it was. So I'm going to, when reading your resume, I'm going to assume that that, you know, big increase could be 1%. It could be more, but you don't seem to know. So you probably aren't that close to the number. There's something about putting these numbers in that shows a level of accuracy that makes it real to the recruiter. The second thing it does is it shows a recruiter and then the hiring manager, the people who are going to make the decision to hire you, it shows that you are keyed in to being productive, in a way that you not only achieve your goals, but you pay attention to what those goals are. So if you have someone that is chopping up this lumber and they don't really care that they need to do 20 parts an hour, that's going to reflect in their resume because they're just going to say chopped lumber. That was the job. Sanded it, chopped it, packaged it. If you reduce packaging materials, if you had an idea that helped the company save money on packaging materials, you could say reduced amount of plastic wrap used on lumber by 8% by finding a heat shrinking technique so that you don't have to do as many turns on the saran wrap. This is a hilarious episode because I'm talking about so many different industries. So you understand what I'm saying. First, you show that you know this, that you accomplish this. That's the most important part. The second thing is that you show that you are tuned into this. Performance and being able to track it is the future for all roles, no matter what it is. This is what the future is. The third thing is, this is what gets resumes noticed. Even if your numbers are bad, even if they're like insignificant, imagine that you have two. I use marketing managers all the time. I don't know why. I have no idea why. But sorry for people that listen to the show and hear marketing manager all the time. So you have two marketing managers, exact same skill. They're twins, exact same skills, exact same experience, and exact same job titles, exact same schools. Everything is the same. But one of them does the standard resume that recruiters mostly see. Managed marketing initiatives, created new marketing plans, brought in new customers, redid website to make it more visually appealing. And then the other person said, same job title, increased website traffic by this percent by implementing this and this strategy. Brought in more revenue, sold more products by creating a campaign with a target of doing this, stayed 30% under budget and overachieved expectations on campaign outcome by 15%, right? And those numbers are probably big. If everything was 1%, right? Increased revenue by 1% and reduced costs by 1%, tiny numbers, right? Maybe not even significant enough to brag about. If I see both of those resumes side by side, which one do you think would stand out to me? Does this make sense? You are speaking their language. And now we're going to jump to resume readers. They look for this information. They look for a variety of different things in one place. So if it's just words, that likely won't score as well as having numbers, words, percentages, words like key performance indicators. It also creates a visual differentiation in just the way it looks. So even if someone was reading your resume, they don't read the same language that you wrote it in. Imagine, right? It's just, they can see that percentage points and dollar signs. That resume itself, just seeing those symbols, creates differentiation, shows that someone's more tuned in. People around the world, people probably know what the dollar sign looks like. Using action verbs is important, right? And everyone is learning how to do that. Drive business development, spearhead this, spearhead that. You can use all that. That's good. But what's most important, again, is implementing these things into your resume. Really quick, I want to thank DanChef99 for their review on Apple Podcasts. The title of the review, I love this. You can write a title for it, like best show ever or weirdest host ever. This title is Daniel. Thank you, Daniel. You are my favorite. Daniel says, absolutely recommend, straight to the point, 10 out of 10. Listening has helped me elevate my response to interview questions. Daniel, thank you so much for writing this. Thank you for leaving a 5-star review. Reviews like this motivate me to dig into stuff, just like I am now. This is what helps. This is a spark that lights the fire when I get these every week to get the energy and gather all the information I have. I type these episodes out and really carefully plan what I say. So I'll get back to the show, but please, especially on Spotify, please, please, please go leave a 5-star review. It will mean a lot to me. Or a 5-star rating. You can't even write a review on Spotify. So it takes you like 5 seconds. Click the little button and then the other little button, 5-star review there, please. And then on Apple Podcasts, keep them coming. Be like Daniel. Be a Daniel. Put your name. I challenge 5 of you to put your name in your title of the review, just like Daniel did. And then if you would say something nice and leave a 5-star review, it's much appreciated. That's what supports this show. So let's dig back into this. You have your resume now. You've improved it. Well, this gets even more important. This will help your resume get further. It will help it get noticed. It will speak to what they are looking for. It will make you look like an outcome-based, overachieving candidate that is doing their best work. Really quickly before I move on, because I have something even more important to say, how do you gather this data? That's really tricky. If you're currently employed, you can find these numbers yourself. You can go look at your website traffic. You can just remember that you cut 5 more logs an hour. Performance reviews are a great source for this. Go back to, especially if you have written performance reviews from your boss, manager, whoever, lean on that to gather this information. It wildly depends on what your job is, what the industry is. If you're an attorney, that's going to be, you know, your wins in court, right? Your percentage rate, whatever that is. The time to start collecting this is now, especially if you're currently in a job. So go through that. That's the best way to gather your data. Go through, if you have tools on your computer that you use for work, look through if they have options for things like analytics, for things like numbers. This takes time. You can look at your production month over month. So see like when you started, and then each month after that, you could look at the timeline of a project. See, okay, the website had 5 visitors a day, and then I started my project and got 15, 25, 35. And then you start running those numbers. A lot of you are going to be surprised that you did great work and you might have achieved a 150% increase in something, or you might have cut 5 days off of the timeline to do something. If you can dig into the dollar saving amount, cut 5 days off of the production of creating this car, which saves company, you know, could be tens of thousands of dollars easily in labor or whatever it is. So now to get to the really good stuff. So you have all this information and it's on your resume. This has now created the foundation for your talking points during your interviews. Companies, as I've said in past episodes, they hire you to be a solution. They hire you to produce an outcome. So when you're speaking during your interview, when they are asking you questions, maybe they're asking from your resume, or maybe they're asking for examples like this STAR method: situation, task, action, and result. They're asking about the STAR method. And you say, I was in a situation where our website wasn't getting any visitors, which reduces the amount of leads we have for our sales team. I was tasked with da-da-da-da-da with the website. I completely overhauled it. The result was a great looking website with this and this and this little button here that helped people get in contact with our sales team. The result is that our sales team were able to exceed their quotas, and my work was recognized as creating an increase of 65% or 165 or 365% top line revenue for the company. And this best practice has helped this department grow, and this and this and this. Each one, all the work that you're going to do, which isn't a ton, this shouldn't be like the hugest task ever. All the work you're going to do to get these stats, to get these data, the KPIs, the numbers, the dollars, the days, this is what helps you have a fantastic interview. Why? Because these are how you provide proof that what you've done before applies to what you'll do for this company. And there's something even better. So you'll say, I was able to increase website traffic by 150%. And you say this in interview, this initiative that I spearheaded increased website traffic by 150% based on the strategy that I put together. I can bring that to your company. I can help you generate those same results. However, I've learned a lot in the meantime. And there's a couple things I learned, mistakes along the way that I've learned from, that can help you save probably 30% by using this tool I discovered instead of the one that I used. We all get better throughout our careers. That should be the goal with your hard skills. You're listening to this podcast to help with your soft skills, your interview skills, the job interview experience. It's okay to say that you've learned lessons during your interview, because when you learn a lesson, you can now do something better, right? You weren't taught a lesson. You weren't in trouble. You learned from what you did. And even though the numbers were great, this is best to use when you had success. No matter what the numbers are, if it was an improvement, that's where you focus on, hey, these were extraordinary results and I was recognized by the CEO or my boss for getting us there. Here's the good news. Since then, or towards the end of that project, I discovered tools that were too late to implement, or since then, new tools have been developed where we can get these kind of results, but it will cost us 30% less than it did then. And I know how to zero in on this even closer. I think for some of you, this is going to really ring a bell and resonate with you. For some of you, I don't mean this in a bad way. Some jobs just don't focus on this at all. They don't focus on results and outcomes, right? If you're doing certain things, if you're working at the hardware store. Your job isn't to sell, it's just to work the checkout counter. How do you measure this? That's where I hope you've been proactive, and I hope that you have found ways within your job to increase something. Now, even with that job, were there customer satisfaction surveys? Do you hand people receipts and ask them to fill out a survey? Was it your job to clean up the cash register, polish it? If it wasn't your job, did you do it anyway? You can put things like that. Clean cash register, polished floor, maintained personal workstation, assisted people in loading their cars. And even if you don't have a great number, it's hard to read a percent increase there, but you can say improved workstation month by month to increase efficiency by X and X percent. So you got better at your job while you did it. So that one is a really tough one, but I am just trying to show that this is possible. It's up to you whether or not to do it. On your resume, in your interview, this might be the biggest thing, the most important thing that you focus on, the most important thing I'm going to tell you, at least for a while, because I'll have more. Focus on results. Focus on outcomes. Focus on what you did for the company. Don't say achieved marketing success. Don't say managed team in XYZ department. Show them what the outcome of you doing that was, because that's what they want. That's what they're going to hire on. So please put your best foot forward. Go beyond the action words. Show your amazing accomplishments on your resume, and then as a talking point for your interview, and then get back to me and let me know how it goes. Although you might not get back to me because you might forget about the job interview experience once you receive your job offer and move forward in your career. Thank you for listening to the Job Interview Experience. I'm a past executive recruiter, search firm owner, director of talent acquisition, and today, your host of the Job Interview Experience. I've interviewed thousands of people. I've viewed more resumes than that. I've met, as an executive recruiter and search firm owner, I met with countless clients, not thousands, but a lot of clients that hired me to go find talent for them. These companies told me exactly what they wanted, what qualities they were looking for. And then as a director of talent acquisition, I helped set those same things up. So I've seen a lot and I can share all of this with you. That's what I'm here to do. Thank you for listening to the Job Interview Experience.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.